If you'd like to open up your Bibles to John chapter 4, John chapter 4, we're going to look at a couple of verses, but the main text is going to be verse 11, chapter 4, 11, says, "The woman said unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water?" Now, the title of the afternoon message is Trusting in One's Own Understanding. Trusting in one's own understanding. Do you know, we all have our thoughts about God. We all have our thoughts about His Son and the Holy Spirit. But it is necessary that we be reminded that at best, our thoughts are at best our limited, finite thoughts. It is of great blessing to meditate and to learn of our God. It is a wonderful way to spend each day. When you rise up in the morning, you get opportunity in the middle of the day and then in the evening to grow, to listen to pray and to learn of our great God. To know and do His will is one of the greatest benefits to a believer's life. And God invites every believer to experience Him in an intimate way. Not just a head knowledge, but an intimate heart way through a relationship He has purchased for us based on His love, through which He reveals Himself to you and me. You know, He desires to reveal His will, His way, and His works to His children. Now, for some, your Christian experience may have been a bit frustrating because you know God has more than what you're experiencing, has a more abundant life than you may have experienced so far. Now, Jesus did say in John 10:10, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." You know, even after being a believer for many years, for some, life can become a little bit dry and a little bit monotonous. We go to prayer meetings on a Wednesday night. We have our church services on a Sunday. We may attend a youth meeting or so through the week, and we get into that groove, so to speak. And week after week, we go through all those motions. We go through all those activities. And yet, we're wondering, am I really experiencing the real presence of God at work in my life? We hear about others, you know, talking excitedly about what God is doing in their lives. And that's the sort of life you really want for yourself. And you're wondering, well, how do I adjust my life and all about me to Him and His ways? To be able to hear when God is speaking. To clearly see through His word, His work in our life. To believe Him. To be everything He has promised. To understand the direction He is leading. And to know what to do in response to His work in your and my life. In other words, to experiencing God doing only what God can do in and through you. How can we do this? Or is it even possible to have this God-centered, this real, intimate God life? Well, the truth is it is. Jesus said in John 17:3, He said, "And this is life eternal, that they might know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Listen, it doesn't get any more personal than that. Doesn't get any more real or intimate than Jesus said, they might know thee, the only true God. Not just about him, not just some idea of him, but to know him personally. You see, real and true Christianity is not just a religion. It doesn't come to us through programs and methods. It comes by having that real and vital relationship, one that is personal with God through his Son. And there is a huge difference between knowing something is true in one's head and to experiencing that reality at work through one's life. When I was going to Bible college, a pastor there approached me in my last year there and said the Lord laid on his heart that I take the position of pastor at his church, and which we did. And we had consulted together with our pastors. We had two at the time. And they agreed that that the Lord was at work there, so we decided we'd take that on. And after a couple of days, we realized that each day during the week, we would have to drive 400 kilometers, 200 each way, to get to Bible college and back to the church. And we're thinking, after that was all right for a week, and after the week, it got to be hard work. Now you think, well, Bible college is 4 days a week, but we lived still that distance from where the church was. We hadn't moved there yet. And we traveled each day. We were asked to just cut a few of the ministries back in the church while I finished the year. And we thought, well, that's not fair on the people in the church. They still want their kids club. They still want their radio ministry. They still wanted their prayer meeting. And we took that on. Now, both of us got tired. We continued with all the ministries as well as all the other stuff of life. There's a home to run. There was work. We had part-time work to do. And on more than one occasion, the Lord protected me on the long drives on the highway and kept me from quite a few serious accidents. One where, I think I may have shared a bit before, a car in front of me towing a horse trailer all of a sudden drifted sideways. This is 110 kilometres an hour, drifted sideways and started to spin in a full circle. And I went past as he was spinning around behind me. Incredible. Incredible. I looked in the mirror and he got out of his car, so he was okay. I was a little bit like this. But the Lord had protected us. As we were at Bible college, a lady I was working for came to Deborah and said to Deborah, look, I think I'd like to buy a home for you guys to live in rent-free while you're at college. And we couldn't believe that. And she came around and picked Deborah up and said, I want you to choose the house. I'll buy it for you. Not for us, but I'll buy it so you can live in it. And we were in there for about 18 months or so. Rent-free. In fact, she paid us to take care of the house and look after her. Man, isn't that... That's just God at work. And when God begins to show himself to you in those sort of ways, you need to grab hold of that and say, man, this isn't a God of just of written words. This isn't a God I may be real out there somewhere. This is a real personal God who was interested in his children. He supplied everything we needed. I learned God was my provider. He was my protector. And we can testify to time after time where we have never wanted for what was needed in our life. And God still does that. Now we can read of these things through Scripture. We can look at them, yet God doesn't want us to just know about him. He wants us to know him personally, that he is in touch with each and every one of us. Everything he says to us, we not only depend upon him, but we believe him totally beyond our own human understanding of his being. And I'm talking about really knowing the God of this Bible, the God who has saved us, the God who lives within us. You see, the problem for us all is we tend to trust God in our own understanding, what we perceive of him to be able to do. What do we know, and what do we believe about what Ephesians 3:20 tells us? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh within us. See, this is where God wants us to be. To understand that he's not just a God out there somewhere, a God of just written words. He's a God within us, who's excited to be in our life. He wants to lead us and teach us. He wants us to dwell with him every moment of the day, to know him in such a way that the life we have to live is in his hands. We're not saying it's not difficult. It's very difficult. But you know he is right there. And if you stand fast and stand in his strength, he'll take you through, nothing surer. That's the personal relationship he wants us to have. But are we still living in what we understand about him? If you're not already there, John 4:11. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Notice that little phrase there. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. The Pharisees had been very critical of both Jesus and John the Baptist. We see that in verse 1. Now, critical concerning mainly purification, which was made even more serious by Jesus and John teaching baptism. Now, we aren't given a great deal of detail about the situation, but baptism was a lot different to the repeated purifyings and dippings practiced by the religious leaders. And Jesus left Judea and he heads towards Samaria, and he stops at Jacob's well near the city of Sychar. And verse 7 there tells us, there cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Here's this woman. She wants to know why Jesus would have anything to do with her at all, because the Jews and the Samaritans didn't agree with one another. And he replies very skillfully, as he always does, and he turns the conversation from the water that was in the well to the blessings that water symbolized. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. Now the unsaved, the unspiritual, do not see in Christ the gift of God. They do not see the voice, or do not hear the voice of authority. They do not feel the need for living water. Water to them is something they may wash with. Water to them is something they may quench a physical thirst with. And when God speaks for the lost, They do not discern the grace and truth. Now, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And we give out the word of God and we let God do the rest. But they don't understand the voice of divine authority. You see, to the multitudes of lost people, God's words have no meaning and no true significance. And for the saved, though, every word of God is infinite wisdom. Is that true? This is where we get our wisdom from. When there's a problem, we don't turn to the world's wisdom, the world's philosophies. We don't listen to worldly counselors. We go to the word of God. First port of call. We know God is infinite wisdom, infinite grace, infinite truth, and infinite love. And this isn't human wisdom. See, this is superhuman. And the woman saith to him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. We see this woman's asking questions out of her own understanding. Now, as believers, we often, whether we want to admit it or not, do exactly the same thing to our Lord. We live in what we can understand. We say, I'm totally impressed with the wonder of what God says, but surely God cannot expect me to really live out in the details of my life what he says to me. God, you have nothing to help me with. Why? Because we're living in our own understanding of who God is. We get under pressure and under trouble and we think, well, God can't get me out of this. See, when we come face to face with Jesus on his merits, our attitude becomes one of where, hang on a minute, I think I might know a little bit more about him in this situation than he does. The well is too deep for the Lord. There's nothing for him. I don't see anything that he has to draw up what I need. Your ways, Lord, your promises, your purposes are high. See, we're truly impressed with what the Lord says. But when it comes to the real issues of life, with the actual events happening in my life, in all reality, I'm saying, no, it can't be done. It can't be done. Lord, thou hast nothing to draw with. Every one of us, if we are going to be honest, think about the Lord in this way at some stage in our life. There are times, there are feelings of doubt, apprehension about how things are going to work out, the consequences of our being, what's this going to cost me? If I obey here and take a step of faith here, what's this going to cost me? How's God going to get me through this? Thou hast nothing to draw with. If I obey, what's going to happen? How am I going to be looked after? Where's the finances going to come from? Who's going to take care of this event in my life? There's no way I'm getting out of this situation. All of that is saying to the Lord, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. I think this situation is too hard for you, Lord. This is a big one. Yes, I know I am to trust you, but it's all very well to say trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thy own understanding, but, you know, I must live. I must survive, and really, I don't believe you have anything to draw with. Nothing whereby he can provide and give us the things that we need. And we need to be very aware of having, how would I put it, pious fraud would be a good way to describe it. That attitude of where we come across so holy and we deceive ourselves and others. It's an attitude where we say, oh, I believe everything God says, but I've got my doubts. I'm still under my fears. I'm living in my apprehensions. The anxieties are too hard for me. I don't really believe you can do what you say you can do. I only believe what I can do. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. In fact, people get upset or hurt at the thought he can do what we cannot. They don't want to trust it. They don't want to live it because of the consequences. We don't like it. We don't like to have to admit the truth of what God says about us. In Romans 6, he said, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield you your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. God tells us that his grace is sufficient for all things. 2 Corinthians 1, we read in verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Do you believe in the promises of God? You truly stand on them? You read them and something comes into your life and you know what most people do? Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with. I'm staying in my anxiety. I'm staying in my fear. I do not believe I can be set free. The well is too deep. And you have nothing to draw the water out with. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ has anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and give us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Moreover, I call God for record upon my soul that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth, nor that not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joys. Why? Because by faith ye stand. Faith does not say to the Lord, you have nothing to draw with. Is Philippians 4:13 a lie? I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. For those who think the well is too deep to stand upon that, they are saying yes. The truth is, I just really believe he cannot do what I need. He cannot do what he says he can do. Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is too deep. From whence thirst thou that living water? Now, God gave us His ultimate best when He gave us His only begotten Son to die in our place for sin. My question is, do you absolutely trust in your salvation? And if that's yes, then don't you think He can do whatever else He says He can do? If He can raise the dead, what can't He do? See, when you can trust God for your very life, you will never let your heart question His love for you. Listen, God is not limited by space or time or matter because He created it all. Can He not give us the strength to go on in faith regardless of what we face? To have victories over the problems that beset us? You can be sure that God's already considered every factor of your life and my life. And we can have confidence that what God tells us is perfect and right. We don't have to try and understand it in our wisdom. We must just trust in His all-knowing ability to take us through, to provide, to protect, to keep us. If we were honest, we would say that, well, my questions spring from the depths of my own inferior limited understanding. And if I detect these doubts and worries of how things are going to work out, what can I do? Well, then you must bring them to the Lord and confess them. We must confess, Lord, I've had doubts about You. I have not believed in Your wisdom apart from my own wisdom. I have not believed in Your power apart from my own power. I have not believed in Your provision apart from my own provision. I have not believed in Your protection apart from my own protection. Lord, I just don't believe You can do what I hope You would do because I believe only from my finite understanding of it. Lord, my life is based on the fact that, sir, You have nothing to draw with. What a sad state for a believer to be in. There was a simple man. He used to have a little business and he used to carry on in that business despite the horrible things many people were saying about him. Despite how tough things got, he had many detractors. People didn't like him. He was a Christian. And he was under enormous amounts of pressure. And he was asked by a friend if he thought he would ever fear he would break. And he replied, and I quote, "Yes, I do, emphatically. I shall break when Psalm 50:15 breaks. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." Are you wholly trusting in what God can do? Or are you leaning on your own understanding that, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with and the well is deep? From whence then hast thou this living water? If we are going to apply His word to live by faith, to trust in Him and to believe Him, we won't use that text. We won't question what He's doing. We will rest in Him and wait and take as long as it takes for him to give us the victory that he has promised. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, you can clear the doubts that we have very simply through your word. You can give us the victories, the knowledge, the wisdom that we need as we study your word. We pray to you that we come under the teaching and preaching. Lord, we can live in life in victory. And victory doesn't mean that life is a bed of roses. Victory means we're on top of whatever situation is allowed into our life. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we never accuse you of not being able to take over our lives and to take us through what we're going through. Lord, we thank you for this short verse, Lord, which reminds us of how easy it is for us to just live in our own understanding, forgetting about the great and almighty God who desires to take care of us. Father, we come before you recognizing just how frail we are. But Lord, frail or not, we can still stand in faith. And we pray, Lord, like this man did. He acknowledged that he could call upon you in the day of trouble. He knew without a doubt he would be delivered by you. And he knew that his struggles would glorify his God. And Father, I pray that be the story of our lives. And we ask these things in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.